He is crucified. Hallelujah. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Yes, we're only 1 week into Eastertide, and John is already reminding us of the realities of the world and the fact that there were those in the church, yes, even then, who denied the crucifixion. Not just the resurrection, the crucifixion. Well, they allowed that took place, a crucifixion of a man, a mere man, but not of God, not of the God-man claimed by the church. No, they had a different image of him. And now he has to come back to that theme right away, the first thing in his letter. And that's why it's maybe important for us also to realize that on this day, he is crucified, but he is risen. That crucifixion was just very much a part of the whole thing, God's ministry to us. The cross of Jesus, the shed blood of the Son of God, was the apostolic witness celebrated as the crown and culmination of the ministry of Christ, was thus ignored and relegated to the background. The blood of Jesus as the Son of God was no longer the blood which cleanses us from all sin. Where the cross is not taken seriously, sin is no longer taken seriously either. And back and forth, John goes, from law to gospel, back and forth, back and forth. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then back again. If we say we have no sin, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Back and forth. It's as if we go from that crucifixion to that resurrection theme over and over, right there in the lesson. In our lives too, every day we're torn. He is risen for us. But every day we go back and we know that the day after Easter, the day of Easter, the sin still is there. It comes into us and it would take us over. It would rob us of that light, everything that he promises here. And then we have that notion that is there at the beginning, you know. We have seen it with our eyes. We looked upon it, touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest. We have seen it and testify it to it and proclaim it to the eternal life, which was with the Father, was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. It's the fact that we live by faith, not by sight. But here's a man that seems to have lived by sight and faith. He had that, he wanted us to know that he had witnessed it, he had touched it. Yes, okay. That takes care of Thomas, I guess. The Thomas in us as well. Well, there have been people like Lessing who says, oh, he said, unless I am there, I really do not, cannot believe it. I cannot believe it. But also we have this whole idea of the fellowship now. And the fellowship is with the Father and is with his Son. In other words, the fellowship is not, we are not linked together horizontally immediately. Our link is with the Father directly and with his Son. That's where we are participating in them. We now have a link with one another. It's very important here. The whole area of fellowship is there. That's what Easter is really bringing us to. That's what we have in our fellowship with one another. It's actually in the Father and in the Son, in the body and in the blood, and all the other gifts that God has given. Where the cross is not taken seriously, sin is no longer taken seriously either. Men whose proud piety centers in their assumed knowledge of God ignores the cross in which God has revealed himself as both the judge of sinful man and the forgiver of sinners, can think of sin as something that need not concern them. They can deceive themselves and say that they have no sin. They can say, we have not sinned, and thus make a liar of God, who has in the cross declared that all men have sinned, and has in the cross given his Son as the propitiation for the sins of the whole world. That is the final message of our lesson today. He is the propitiation for our sins, not only for ours, but for the sins of the whole world. It's as if we were setting out on a holiday, a vacation. This was the opportunity of getting away from all our home and all that is there. We can make a fresh start, be renewed as well as strengthened for a new life. No sin, You get the idea. Well, at least for part of a day. And yet we are kidding ourselves. But he leaves us with this final word. He is the propitiation for our sins. He's the one who took the sin upon himself, all of that sin. And that's why John sees in the crucifixion the great glory of our God. There the Christ raised up. There's no word for resurrection in John except exaltation. Lifted up. He is both lifted up on the cross and exalted there. And we see both in that one place. There is where God does his deed for us completely until the day of the resurrection and the ascension. They're all one act. They're all together. But in all of these is his great glory. The glory of the one who sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He is there in our place. We can now today again bring that sin before him. And we do not make a liar of him when we confess that sin and when we say to one another, I am a sinner. And we say that before God. And now he pronounces upon us the forgiveness of all of our sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit.